Hi, everyone. I hope you're ready to talk about Microsoft Hybrid Cloud. The first part in this video, three-part video series, is going to be about small business hybrid cloud. If you thought hybrid cloud was only for big companies, you're going to love this. The first in the three-part series, check it out. Hi, everyone. Welcome to another episode of OEM TV. I'm Eric Mills. I do Windows Server Marketing at Microsoft, and I'm joined today by Keith Mayer. How you doing, Keith?
Doing great, Eric. Thanks for having me on the show today.
All right. You are welcome. It's going to be a good one. But before we start talking about hybrid cloud, Keith, could you just remind everybody what it is that you do at Microsoft?
Sure. Sure thing. Yeah. So at Microsoft, I'm a principal technical architect in our U.S. developer experience team. And my focus is working with large independent software vendors, large partners that are building software solutions on our hybrid cloud platform. And so that could be Azure, our public cloud platform. It could be Windows Server and Azure Stack, or it could be a combined mix of those.
Nice. Well, we always get really good feedback from people that watch the episodes with Keith. You're an awesome wealth of knowledge, so really happy to have you back on the show. And everyone, we're going to be talking about hybrid cloud today. It's going to be an awesome episode. There's so much to talk about. I want to start just by saying, if you have comments about the show, be sure to write those down at the bottom. We respond to all of those comments. And if you want to find more about Windows Server 2016 and some of the other technologies that we're talking about here today, you can go to ORCA. That's the OEM Reseller Community Academy. It's aka.ms/ORCA. There's a link down at the bottom of the show, and you'll be able to see all the videos that we're doing on hybrid cloud and other server topics. So let's dig right into it first by talking about the definition of hybrid cloud. And a lot of companies and a lot of people talk about hybrid cloud, and it may mean different things to different people. Keith, what's Microsoft's definition of hybrid cloud? How do we think about it?
Yeah, that's great. And you're right. It is something that hybrid cloud tends to be a bit overused, sometimes misused term. I've heard other companies or organizations describe it as just connecting an on-prem network with a cloud provider or doing some level of limited interaction. But when we think about hybrid cloud, we really think about pervasive extensibility of your on-premises data center to take advantage of hosted and public cloud platforms as an extension. So when you think about that as an extension, that's more than just raw network connectivity to those cloud platforms. It also involves extending a cohesive identity management strategy so that you have single sets of user credentials to manage for both applications that are running in your on-premises data center as well as in a cloud provider's deployment. It means extending your management tools so that you have universal manageability of the workloads that you're running, whether they're on-prem or in a public cloud or a hosted environment. It means being able to track and secure that. It means being able to take advantage of the capacity in a way that's non-user interrupting, so that if you have an application that is perhaps seasonal in nature, where on a monthly basis or quarterly basis or for a couple months out of the year, you see high utilization, being able to extend that capacity to take advantage of capacity on demand, the cloud provider as an extension of your on-prem data center, and being able to burst up to that without having to make a significant capital investment in your on-premises data center for just 20 to 25% of the time where you happen to experience peak utilization, being able to leverage that as well. So really taking the best of the on-premises data center world, the best of the public cloud and hosted cloud worlds, and merging them together into a single cloud infrastructure that organizations can benefit from, scale to, and manage as a single infrastructure.
That's good stuff right there, Keith. I think that's actually like the best definition of hybrid cloud I think I've ever heard. A lot of people really confuse hybrid cloud with virtualization, I think. You know, well, we've got some virtual machines And now we're hybrid. Well, not really. Or they think, you know, I've got some on-prem servers and I host my website at a hosting company. You know, that may be hybrid cloud, but it probably isn't. Especially if you don't have manageability across the two, like you're talking about, if you don't have single identity across the two, if you don't have a way to extend your existing on-prem infrastructure into the cloud in other ways than just maybe hosting your website offsite. So yeah, that's really good. And I think the extensibility that you mentioned is really, you know, one of the key things, one of the key tenets of a hybrid cloud. Now, can you talk about, you know, like, why is hybrid cloud better than just having everything on-prem or having everything up in the cloud or having just two separate sets of infrastructure, one in the cloud and one on-prem? Why is the hybrid approach actually better?
Yeah, and I think it goes back to what we were talking about a little earlier with hybrid cloud really offering the most flexibility, kind of the best of all worlds, right? While there's some organizations, you know, perhaps new startups or whatnot that can afford to have everything they have from an IT standpoint entirely in a public cloud platform, the number of commercial organizations, small, medium, or large, that can do that entirely in the cloud today is relatively few. Most organizations have some applications, whether it be from a latency, performance, regulatory standpoint, or internal governance standpoint. There's a certain population of applications that they still find that they need to keep in an on-premises data center, their site they control and manage physically. But having said that, there's also a large number of workloads in many organizations that don't really require the cost and expense of a on-premises data center, particularly as organizations look to optimize their capital versus operational expense budgets. You know, a lot of organizations are looking to focus capital expenses for on-prem data centers on those most critical key applications where they have those requirements, and then move or migrate those other applications that are perhaps departmental apps or public-facing apps that are being consumed by users over the internet anyway, those mobile devices or whatnot, move those out to the public cloud, convert those into an operational expense that you can pay for as you need, and really focus your capital expenses in those core mission-critical line of business applications that you have one of those reasons for keeping in an on-premises data center environment. So they're really giving you the most flexibility. And I think that's one of the key differences at Microsoft. You know, we've had a ton of experience working with customers in the on-premises data center space for small, medium, and very large enterprise organizations, as well as a ton of experience running our own cloud data centers as well. We realize that customers are at different points of that cloud maturity process. And for many of those customers, a true hybrid cloud is the cloud model that currently makes the most sense for them to balance those capital versus operational, mission critical versus non-mission critical, on-prem versus cloud workloads.
Right. And you used the word balance there. And I think that's a really good key to how to think about hybrid cloud, because I think a lot of companies, if they're all on-prem or if they're all in the cloud, they think, why don't we just stay that way? We don't really, if we're all on-prem, we don't really want to mess with the cloud. We don't need the cloud. We can do everything we want on-prem. And, you know, the same could be said for all the people that are just all cloud. There is an investment that you have to make in order to have that hybrid cloud. And I agree with you that once you have the hybrid cloud, you have the ultimate in flexibility and just control and agility and a way to balance costs versus performance versus reliability. And there are all kinds of trade-offs there. But ultimately, once you have that hybrid cloud, you have the infrastructure to really get exactly what you want out of your technology. But let's talk about, like, really just the cost of getting there. Like, is it worth it to build a hybrid cloud? You know, you have to learn some new stuff. You may have to buy some stuff that you aren't that familiar with and get up to speed on it and then connect everything together. Is it worth the trouble for most companies?
Oh, yeah, definitely. You know, whether it's a small, medium, or large organization, the barrier to entry from a pure cost standpoint, capital or operational costs, is getting lower and lower every day. And, you know, we've taken some great strides with Windows Server 2016, Windows Server Essentials, both for helping small, medium, and large organizations streamline their path at a very low cost point to begin that process of moving towards a hybrid cloud. But there's also the people costs as well, right? And you bring up some good points on training and new experiences and whatnot. And you know, as an IT professional, a data center architect that's been in the industry for over 20 years, I've deployed very large global data center solutions across 50, 60 different sites on worldwide wide area networks, as well as over the last 10 years, been really focused on helping organizations move into the hybrid cloud and public cloud space as well. What I'll tell you is that the skills that you have as an IT professional, even in an on-premises world, those skills aren't going away. They're not any less valuable. But as you move more to the public cloud side or the hybrid cloud side, what you'll find is that your skills in physical infrastructure now begin translate. That knowledge begins translating and applying to infrastructure that you're provisioning on demand through templatized, declarative, or code-based patterns. And so I don't want the word code to scare anybody. We're not talking about writing detailed, detailed application code to do this. It's generally templates and declarative code and scripts, right? When we talk about that kind of code. But it's very empowering to see that next step, the next step in your career of your skills being applied to accelerate adoption at a much broader level than what you could in a single on-prem data center environment. And so I see a lot of excitement across other IT professionals in that career growth opportunity. And the ability to make that a progressive growth. You don't have to jump in with both feet and do everything all at once. You can take it step by step in the order for key scenarios where it makes the most sense for your organization based on the types of applications and the size of your organization.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And a lot of people that haven't touched cloud yet may not realize how directly their on-prem skills will translate into cloud. Once you start connecting to the cloud, you still have to know networking and, understand subnets, and you've still got storage, and you've still got compute, and you still have, identity and all the things that you've learned to do on-prem. You still have the same concepts in the cloud. That stuff doesn't go away, so it translates directly. It's just a cloud operating system versus an on-prem operating system, but the core concepts are still there. And all the work that you've put in to learn the on-prem stuff is going to translate very well to the cloud, because those are really just the fundamentals of the technology that we use, regardless of whether it's on-prem or cloud.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So well said there. So when companies think about making this leap to the cloud or making this leap to hybrid cloud, often they're not really sure what to buy. Companies have all kinds of different offerings around this. I just wanted to just put in a quick plug for Microsoft Cloud and what you need to buy. The good news is if you have some on-prem servers, you likely have a lot of what you already need because Microsoft doesn't sell cloud stuff separately, or it doesn't sell a hybrid cloud SKU. Really, it's Windows Server on-prem. If you own Windows Server, you have what you need on-prem to start your hybrid cloud journey. It's Azure up in the cloud, and there are several different Azure services that you can buy. If you want some management across the two, it's System Center or it's Operations Management Suite, kind of depending on what you want to do, or possibly both. But that's really it. So you buy Windows Server, you buy some Azure services. If you want management across the two, you buy System Center or Operations Management Suite, and you have what you need. You have the tools you need to really do whatever you want to do kind of at different scale. So, Keith, you talked about small, medium, and large businesses. Can you dig in a little more detail for each of those? Let's maybe just start with small business. A lot of times a small business may think, cloud and hybrid cloud especially, that sounds complex and it's not for me, that's only for big companies. But how can a small business take advantage of hybrid cloud? What would that look like?
Yeah, definitely. And so for small businesses, what many small organizations find is that in addition to users logging in and accessing resources on their local Windows Server or Windows Server Essentials deployed servers, more and more small businesses also have users that are accessing SaaS-based applications. It could be SaaS-based applications in the Microsoft Cloud, like Office 365, Exchange Online, or SharePoint Online, or OneDrive for Business, or whatnot, or Dynamics CRM, or whatnot. Or it could be third-party SaaS applications as well. And one of the key challenges that they find, if they're not moving down that hybrid cloud path, is that identity management, even in a small organization, very quickly gets out of hand because you don't have a hybrid identity solution in place. Every one of those SaaS applications from a third party defaults oftentimes to having separate usernames, separate passwords for every single individual. I'm just a hassle to manage. And so establishing a identity hybrid strategy first is where a lot of small businesses start. And luckily we've made it super easy. Right, so if you have Windows Server Essentials or Windows Server on-prem, and you have Active Directory already deployed, that's the most common on-prem identity management solution, extending that out to Azure Active Directory and synchronizing your user and group information and providing a unified single sign-on process is a great first step because that gives users single sign-on for local applications, single sign-on for Office 365 or Dynamics CRM, or for 3,000 or 4,000 third-party applications. Our Azure Active Directory marketplace continues to grow by leaps and bounds, and I have a hard time nowadays finding a third-party SaaS solution that's not integrated with the Azure AD marketplace. The Azure AD marketplace, once you have that hybrid identity synchronized and synchronization and single sign-on in place, the Azure AD marketplace makes integrating with third-party SaaS solutions a couple clicks in a portal to enable it and get it set up, and boom, you've got single user management, single user account and identity management for all of your users. And that's really important from a couple aspects. And even in a small organization, there's overhead with managing all those usernames and passwords, and having the hassle of password resets and all that business. But also when someone leaves your organization, you still want to be able to feel comfortable that you've disabled their access to all applications, whether they're on-prem applications or SaaS-based applications. And with tools like CRM and other line of business applications also moving to the SaaS model, we're finding that more and more small businesses have critical business information sitting in those SaaS applications as well. So hybrid identity is first. And then, Eric, you had mentioned also thinking about extending your on-prem data center or servers to be able to talk to Azure as well. So if there were other virtual machine-based workloads that made sense to run for at a lower cost in Azure, you could do that. Once that hybrid identity is in place, the next step that I see small organizations pursuing is hybrid network connectivity. Establishing secure network connectivity from their local office or on-prem data center out to a virtualized network that they've set up, they maintain, it's private to them, in the Azure public cloud, so they can treat Azure as another data center on their network, as a branch office, if you will, that runs additional workloads, but can scale and grow to support additional workloads as they need it without having to make additional capital investments or deploy new hardware or whatnot. So that virtual networking capability is also intrinsic in Windows Server. Instead of site-to-site VPN tunnels, with Windows Server Essentials, Windows Server directly out to Azure, you can use common third-party VPN or firewall devices to set up those tunnels as well. So if you have a third-party device that you're using to protect your on-prem network, chances are you can use that to set up a secure tunnel to Azure and be able to treat that as a routable connection. And then the next step that a lot of small businesses look for is how to protect themselves in the event of an on-prem disaster. So they look at things like leveraging Azure Backup or Azure Site Recovery to either back up or replicate their on-prem workloads out to Azure very cost-effectively. That way they completely automated their off-site backup rotation policy. You know, off-site tape rotations are a big hassle even in small organizations. And I constantly still run into small organizations where somebody's responsible for taking the tapes and they leave them in their car and, sure, you know, car gets broken into and who knows what happened with the corporate data. This way it's all encrypted and safely stored offsite in a very secure, compliant cloud data center that you don't have to worry about somebody breaking into. And for Azure Site Recovery, that offers for very fast failover for mission-critical applications, the ability to replicate and quickly fail over those applications in the event of an outage. So those are some of the common paths and use cases I see for small organizations getting started with hybrid cloud. And then once they've gotten started, continuing from there to, as they get more familiarity and comfort, to think about other ways they can leverage that for the remaining applications or services. What we find, you know, I do, as I mentioned at the beginning of our show, I do a lot of work with ISV partners. And it used to be that ISV partners were a very special segment of customers or partners that developed software for other people. What a lot of customers are finding once they've gone down this hybrid cloud path is that some of the data, even if I'm a small organization, some of the data that I have that's unique to my organization, I may be able to create new revenue streams around by farming that data, perhaps providing analytics back in different ways, or reselling an aggregated version of that back to my customers or back to new customers. And so once you've gone down that hybrid cloud path, not only is it a cost reduction approach for your current IT spend, but it can also be a revenue enabler, again, even for a smaller organization. So it can be quite exciting.
Yeah. Awesome answer there, Keith. I mean, if I'm a small business, I'm going to try to summarize your answer there because there were so many just like good nuggets in there. I think, first of all, identity management. A lot of small companies don't think about the fact that if they don't have, some kind of way to manage the identity of all these SaaS applications, their users are signing up for accounts. They're storing, company data in these accounts, and the company has no idea what the password is, or, even that the account even exists. And that can really put the company in a bad situation, like you said, if the employee leaves or the data is lost for whatever reason. That's company data there. So we used to not have this problem, or we kind of ignored it, pretended it didn't exist. But now with so much information out there in these SaaS applications, I'm just thinking off the top of my head, some of the more common SaaS applications, if your company is using Salesforce or, QuickBooks or something like that, or even a source code repository online, there's a ton of company IP out there in a SaaS application. And if you don't have a way to manage those company passwords and sync identities from on-premises to the cloud, you're really leaving yourself open to a lot of problems. So that's a big one that's often overlooked. We should do another whole episode on identity management from on-prem to cloud because that's a big deal. The second one you mentioned was just network connectivity. And once again, that expansibility to be able to expand your on-prem infrastructure to the cloud. And, one of the reasons a small company might want to do that is if suddenly they go talk to a big account and they win a big deal that they need to fire up infrastructure fast in order to please this big customer. And you don't have time to order hardware, right? And so sometimes that burst ability that the cloud gives you can really save your business and win you those big accounts. And then next you talked about disaster recovery with Azure Site Recovery and just the ability to replicate your virtual machines and your physical machines up to the cloud very inexpensively, very easily, and not have to deal with all the problems that can go wrong with messing with tape backup. And, small companies often back up to a USB drive or something like that. And that is just a recipe for unreliability and just problems. So just to have it automated, to know that your stuff is backed up to the cloud all the time, very low cost, that's what a small business needs. Hey everyone, Eric again. I hope you enjoyed the first part in the three-part video series on hybrid cloud. Stay tuned for the second and third parts. Coming up next, the second part, we're going to talk about medium business hybrid cloud from a Microsoft perspective. I'll see you in the next video.